Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy, two combat tours in Iraq. And if you were listening for us at the 9 o'clock hour, we kind of got set back from 10 to 11. So we'll be 10 to 11 for a while. If you want to go ahead and know that that's the time frame we'll be on, we still have an hour to honor our country and our veterans and our military and those who support our community, all of our amendment rights as we continue to move forward. And as we go, I just want to say, we've been working on this Battlefield Expressions art program with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And I want to let you know how successful that this program has been. We introduced this a couple of weeks ago at the very beginning of March, and we continue to have more veterans and their families and children become part of the program in Tehama County, Shasta County, in Siskiyou County. If you're a part of this program, you don't have to be in Shasta County. You don't have to come to the firehouse in Cottonwood and be there for every class. We have been mailing out these different art programs, packages to our veterans that are in need in different communities. We've sent them to veterans that are in Paradise who've lost their homes, and this is an opportunity for them to perform some healing and to be able to express themselves and to get their feet back on the ground because of the loss of their homes and the transfer of their families and things like that. So it's one thing to be in the military and to be bounced back and forth from either a combat zone or a duty station or whatever else experiences that you have while you're serving your country, and then to come back again to your home and still be uprooted by natural disasters or by fires or things like that. And so this gives us an opportunity to reach out to those men and women who served our nation faithfully and allow us to continue to support them in a way that they can express themselves and to be able to have some personal healing in their lives as they're able to release some of this anguish and some of this pain that they have from whatever the experiences that they are. I know that we have some veterans families who have come and they're dealing still with issues with their family. It's not just one era. I mean, it's going all the way back to Vietnam, issues there, issues with Iraq and Afghanistan veterans and things like that. It continues to be a part of our lives, whether we want it to or not. And at times, it raises its ugly head. And so as we continue to move forward with this art program that allows these individuals to express themselves, to come to a meeting with other artists and to be like-minded and to be able to comfort each other, to be able to talk about these situations. A lot of times while they're painting, they're talking to somebody that's right next to them. And whether they know it or not, they're expressing themselves and allowing themselves to be able to talk with somebody that's like-minded, somebody that's not going to point a finger at them, somebody that's not going to say, well, you're the problem here, or you're the problem there, or whatever else. These individuals, we have a voluntary military, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know that, every man and woman who serves this nation right now is a volunteer to preserve the freedom that we have as a nation. And that also means to give opportunity to individuals who want to express themselves with this freedom of speech, those that it's either hate speech or it's not hate speech, or it's individuals who want to take our Second Amendment rights away from us. We fought for those people. So it's important for us when we come back to continue to stand on those foundations of what we believe, those foundations of what we fought for, the foundations of what we raised our right hand for and said, I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution. And we will continue to do that regardless of what others in the community might say. And so I just want to remind you that we have these different programs that are going, our Silver Star Veterans Program, helping widows and elderly veterans in our community, which is ongoing. And then also our Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services Program. As we continue to help families that are in need this Easter holiday, because we were able to raise a large amount of money with the Iron Soldier Ride, with Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, we were able to feed 50 military families this Easter holiday, and how important it is for us to be able to supply these families with hams and turkeys and two or three boxes of groceries that go along with that. And so that large turkey or that large ham is going to feed that family for at least an entire week, along with the groceries to go with that. And so when we receive funding in from individuals in the community to allow us to take care of these families that are in need, A lot of time these families come back, they suffer, they struggle, they try to get their act together, and they continue to move forward at a lower level because they're dealing with traumatic brain injury, or they're dealing with issues coming back from the military, some type of an injury or whatever else. And so this program allows us to be able to reach out to these individuals who have served their country faithfully and to be able to give them a hand up in our community and for us to be able to say thank you for a job well done. Thank you for serving and volunteering. And thank you for preserving our freedom. And we want you to be a vital part of our community. We want you to step up and get back into what's going on in our community. We don't want them to hide away. We don't want them to just be off to the side and think that there isn't anybody that cares. Remember, there's 22 veterans a day that lose their life, that give their life, that sacrifice their life to suicide across our nation. And I say sacrifice because anytime an individual takes their life, that's a sacrifice. It takes away from the integrity of our military. It takes away from the integrity of our nation. Because every one of these men and women who stepped up and served our country, they need to be upheld. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that they're not alone. A lot of times these veterans find themselves off by themselves, and late at night all the devils and the demons come out, whether it be just depression, or it be alcohol or some kind of drug-related issue because they've allowed themselves to fall into some of those situations. And then we lose them. We lose them to, literally, we lose them to the devil. And so it is so important for us to make sure that our hand is continually outreached to these individuals and so that they know that they have a common, safe place of like-minded individuals who honor them for their service and to say thank you for them. And that's why it's so important with these programs that we have. So I'd like to remind you, if you'd like more information about any of these programs, you can call the museum phone number. And that number is 530-378-2280. And we want to make sure that they know that they can give us a call and we can lead them to resources. We can give them information concerning the programs that we have. And once again, that phone number is 378-2280. So we have to make sure that we just don't let them go to the wayside. We have so many veterans and their families in our Northern California community that we need to step out and say thank you every opportunity we get. We want to remind you that the Northern California Veterans Museum is bringing the Wall of Remembrance into Shasta County in July-August timeframe. So between July 28th through August 1st, we are going to have the Wall of Remembrance, which is the 9/11 wall. It's about 125 feet long. We'll have it at the museum property at 4659 Ronda Road, and that will be on display 24/7 for 5 days. And it is our opportunity once again to be able to bring a place of healing back to our community for all of our veterans. That wall is for all of our veterans because it honors the sacrifice of those who lost their lives that day, just like those who gave their lives at Pearl Harbor. This honors those who gave their lives at 9/11. It'll be 10 years since the wall was created and on display, so this will be the 10-year anniversary for the Wall of Remembrance, and it will be the 20th year for 9/11. Can you believe it's been 20 years since 9/11? And so as we continue to move forward with this project, we honor our veterans. We want to make sure that you are invited. And it is not just for veterans. It's for all Americans to come and for us to remember that day, that tragedy that took place. And then now the men and women who continue to serve around the world with Global War on Terror, the GWAT. It's important, I guess, to talk about all different kinds of issues with our weather and things like that. But we have a rising threat with Russia, and we have a rising threat with China. And they are willing to take away our freedom and our nation away from us. And our men and women are putting themselves between the threat and our freedom. And we have to make sure that we honor them, we support them, as we continue to move forward and keep the freedoms that we have right now. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
9.9 million Americans misused prescription drugs, with most of the prescription drugs coming from family and friends, often from medicine cabinets.
The National Prescription Drug Take Back Day addresses this serious public health and safety issue.
Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs
to the Reading City Hall, Saturday, April 24th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For info, call 241-5958 or visit chemicalpeople.org.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're playing Anchors Away because our guest is Les Converse, who is a former Navy veteran. And Les, thank you for being our guest here this morning. You also have Converse Construction here in our community that you developed and put together after you came back and went through school and everything from the Navy. And so, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I would like you to go ahead and talk to us a little bit about your naval experience and maybe some of the heritage that gave you the incentive to go ahead and join the Navy.
Yeah, everybody here has come from some legacy. And I've been lucky that I've come from several different legacies. One was a legacy of our family that has had a military tradition going back many years. I did have relatives that served in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and Korean, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Afghanistan. My nephew is back from Afghanistan. I served in the first Gulf War with my brother and my cousins. My three uncles all served in the Vietnam War in Army, Air Force, and Navy. And my tradition has been more in the Navy. After college, I went 1 year to college, and my father had lost his job, and I was looking at a point, what do we do? Where do we go the next step? And I wanted to take a step that first was going to be financially viable and was intelligent, but also we had many family members that had served in the military. And I saw that as not only a good tradition, but I also knew it was a smart move for a young person that wasn't going to go in debt for college, wasn't going to run up these huge amounts and then wonder what I was going to do. So I joined the Navy, and I joined in called a program called the Navy Nuclear Program. My NEC was 3386, which is a nuclear engineering laboratory technician. I served on the USS Nimitz, where basically everything from radiation to water chemistry, and I was also qualified chief reactor watch. So spent a lot of time in the nuclear Navy for 4 years.
Well, now, they don't just let anybody join the Duke Club.
No, it's pretty exclusive in a way, and exclusive in a difficult manner. Let's put it that way. If you got, if you take the ASVAB test, and you were in going to nuclear field, you scored probably 90 to 99, which is our, the highest score. So if you scored high in the ASVAB, the Navy recruiters were, we got the program for you. And they tell you about all these promotions, they tell you about how you can raise through rank, but you're ex-military, and if you knew that a particular field you could raise through rank really quick, you also know that there's a lot of people leaving that when they can, too. So it was a difficult time. I spent two tours. I went out on one Westpac, and I went out on a world tour. And I was there when Taiwan did their first elections. We were pulled out of the Persian Gulf to be on station for that time. In fact, it's kind of an interesting story. So, as you know, a carrier's never out there alone.
Right.
Yeah, they're out there with a whole battle group there. And so that's a support ships, a submarine, and such. So when we got the order, because China was starting to threaten me, they were shooting missiles over the China Seas. They actually had deployed over a 200-ship Navy around Taiwan. It was pretty hot right at that time. So they decided that they wanted a second carrier on station during that event. And so we got the call. I was in the Persian Gulf at the time, which found a little ironic for us. We're in the Persian Gulf, we got combat pay. And then here we pulled out to Taiwan where there was an actual fleet sitting against us, and we lost our combat pay.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's bureaucracy, but it's, you know, you got to live by the rules. That's something you learn. You, in the military, you live by the rules. Well, I'll give you an idea. Our whole fleet left. We went in port. We picked up supplies. The nuclear carriers are so fast that our battle group met us on station. We beat all of them. Even though we had an extra day and a half that we stayed back, we were able to transit a day and a half quicker because those two nuclear reactors can really put out some power.
Yes, they can.
So I'll go back a little bit. So I encourage people when they're looking at a profession to look at the military. And there, people get in for all sorts of reasons, but as you know, whatever your reason for getting in, it doesn't change the fact when you get out, you're a family. When you get out, you have people that have had different experiences than the general community. You have people that have seen things that other people haven't, done things that other people haven't.
Enormous responsibilities.
Right, but this is a bonding. I've even bonded with my friends that were Marines. I've had several Marines, and I tell all my good Marine friends, you're recovering nicely. As you know, I say that, but I have several friends that are Marines that I have such high respect for. And you do for everybody in the service. So I got into the Navy because at that time I didn't have that many options that I thought were as good as that. And so I ended up going through boot camp in Orlando, Florida. And then I went through Nuclear Power A School and Power School in Orlando, then Prototype in Idaho, and then I was deployed to my very first ship, the USS Nimitz. Now, the Nimitz was just getting done with an overhaul, and it was going to be about have the most sea time of any aircraft carrier during that time. So what we saw was anyone that could get off the carrier were getting off, and so a lot of people were coming out of schools. So we were a pretty young group, which was exciting for me because it meant there was a lot more work, but we were able to receive responsibility quicker. So I was ended up qualifying auxiliary chemist, chief reactor watch, reactor auxiliary watch. I ended up being qualified control material petty officer. Nuclear quality insurance inspector and such. So it was a great learning experience, and the amount of stuff I was given, nobody would given that opportunity that quickly to such a young person as the military does.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Les Converse. We'll be right back.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and there is no better time to get screened than right now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Where our brothers are dying for us
same good old boy that you ran around with before. I just came back from a war.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows, and our guest this morning is Les Converse. And Les is a former Navy veteran, a nuke sailor. And Les, we're talking about your duty as a nuke sailor just coming back on the Nimitz during the Taiwan-China crisis. And so tell us a little bit more about that experience. We're talking about the service, the sacrifice, and the what you when you're working in a tight quarters with other individuals under tight situations, you form a brotherhood where you trust that person with your life and you trust that person with their job and those capabilities.
Yes, you do, and it's a bonding that will stay with you for the rest of your life, and it'll even set up a situation that future bondings will be using this as a template for it. And that's something that I've often gone back to, and I look at a lot of my close friendships and my time even now, I've used that. So first of all, you have to think about how close we were together. One of the military bases got converted to a prison, and they immediately got sued because they said that it was too crowded, and they'd already had it at one-third the capacity the military was. The room we're in right now, I would say, is somewhere around 18 feet by 12 feet. In the Navy, that means, yeah, we could get 20 people in here. Yeah, they can live. And so you live in a real tight area, and it makes you realize how you have to live in such a manner that it's more about the people around you than you yourself. And this is something that I've been able to take on a lot forever with me. But the nuclear program was intense. We had a lot of training. It was a lot of cerebral training. At the time I went through, our attrition rates were real close to what the SEALs were at that point. We lost almost half the people that went into the program, didn't make it through the other end. So it was not just a small achievement to reach through the program. With that said, you're not going to like every person, and that was probably one of the better things to learn, too. You're going to live closely, you're going to work with, and I would say every one of us would have died for each other, and we would have stepped up and done our duty, even if we didn't quite like the person. So I think there's a misnomer out there that everybody in the military loves each other. That isn't true. But we do have respect. And when you build relationships on respect, then you can carry through all sorts of adversity. You can go through different opinions. And so, yeah, I use that to build up through my life. So I served on the Nimitz for 4 years. I actually went through the Suez Canal, so I saw all this stuff happen in the Suez Canal and laughed. In fact, I often told people that I did not go to Africa, I did not go to Europe, and I did not go into the Middle East in that one area. But I drove by, and I did wave. I let everybody know I did drive by and wave. So after I got out of the military, I served my 6 years, and I had this great opportunity where they were going to help me pay for college. And so when I got out, I came back to California. And I had 1 year completed at Shasta College, and I went one more year back at Shasta College.
Now, they didn't offer you a great signing bonus to go back on for another 6 years?
Oh, they did. It was $45,000, and because I was in the Persian Gulf, it was tax-free. And we had the highest signing bonuses in the military. But I loved so much about the Navy, but I was ready to move on.
It was time for a different change.
It was. And that's what the military did. They gave me an opportunity. They gave you the GI Bill such that you could, at that point that you decided to move on, you had great opportunities.
Right, and they paid for it.
They paid.
Well,
yes.
You paid for it with your service.
Yeah.
But they also paid for that because that's part of the benefits of the service.
Yeah. I often joked with people when I was in college that, yeah, my family member's paying for it. I had to work hard, but I have paying for it. And they go, who's that? Uncle Sam.
Right? That's exactly what it's all about. But it's about not just serving your country, but knowing that when you get back, you have those opportunities. And a lot of times when we come back, it's not the branch of service where we really find the issues. It's dealing with the VA as a whole, the federal government VA, when we come back trying to get our other benefits. And there's always a disconnect there that it seems like we have to work so hard to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think that there people see what benefits the veterans get and think, maybe that's unfair, they're getting too much. But I don't think that they actually relate what the service that's being performed. We would not have a nation without that military. We would not have some of these opportunities without this forward projection of power. The value of our military in our society, no matter who you are, is very valuable, and it's impacted every individual's lives. So some of these programs that we see for the military personnel have been amply deserved. That was something I had to think about. So, yeah, after I got back, I went one more year to Shasta College, and then I was set to go to Sac State. And my father, who graduated Oregon State, wanted at least for me to try for a university. So I told my dad, all right, I'll apply to the 2-4 most northern UCs, whatever those two UCs are. And it turned out that was Davis and Berkeley. And I got a letter back from Davis saying, nah, thanks. Good try, but nah, thanks. And so I got everything set up to move down to Sacramento. And here in May shows up a letter from Berkeley saying, welcome. So I ended up going to 2 years at UC Berkeley. And what I found odd there is that was such a dichotomy, that university. You would find somebody doing Bible studies every day on campus. One of the largest groups was Young Republicans. And so there, I was able to see a side that is almost never reported about the university. I actually enjoyed my time there.
I think that when people hear about Berkeley, they immediately assume that they're thinking about all the things that took place during the 60s. And that can be further from the truth these days.
Yes, yes. Actually, when the second Gulf War started, I was on campus, and they actually had a candle vigil for all the people there. And so it wasn't a political one. It was more of a one of remembering and concern. And it was something I was pretty well touched with. And but that was one of the things that I go into my view, even with people. I don't really care what a person's political view is. I can still appreciate, respect, and like a person that has no views even similar to myself. And so after I finished up with Berkeley with my civil engineering degree, I came back and I worked for C.H. Toom Hill in town here for a few months. When I spoke with my old employer, he had employed me off and on the whole time in the military, and I asked Larry Tony, and I go, Larry, would you hire me? He goes, well, I don't like civil engineers, and I really don't like Berkeley, but I'll give you a try. Maybe you can overcome that.
That's what I mean about Berkeley having its own preview.
I know. I've gotten that before. My emphasis at Berkeley was environmental engineering. And I had one of the other liberal letter and science majors go, oh, I bet your dad's upset about that. And I go, you have no idea what an environmental engineer does, do you? Because what we do is we're the ones that do the water treatment, the wastewater. We're the ones that look at these environmental problems, whether it's carbon collection, and say, how can we solve the problems our society or our nation has today? That's what an environmental engineer is, not an advocacy group. So after I got done there, I worked for Larry for 3 years when he retired, and my father and I started a company. And it's called Converse Construction, Inc., and we are very excited that we're able to serve this area as an industrial contractor. Because one of the things I love about our company is I've done two things. One is from the military, I learned what a leader was. A leader has responsibility, and that responsibility is more important than anything else. It's more important than recognition. It's more important about financial achievement. It's the responsibility that you have, and it's that you've had people place their lives in your hand, and what are you going to do with it, and how are you going to treat those lives properly? Because that's what the good leaders in the military, we look at the great leaders in the past. You know, where it was Storm and Norman, because he's kind of more from my time frame, or one of the great ones, Patton or Eisenhower from the past, they always had ability to focus on their troops and put their troops first. And so that was something I used, and I wanted different, because in business today, too many times I've seen corporations that are worried about their stockholders. They're worried about that extra 10th of % of profit, and they completely forgot about the workers. And that was something I committed on that I never do. And so we've had a ability with Commerce Construction. First of all, we're a disabled veteran business. I am a disabled vet.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, yeah. And I knew that if the company was going to be disabled vet, I did not want myself to be the sole beneficiary. We currently have two other disabled vets working for the company, so we have three disabled vets, and we've employed two other disabled vets in our small company, and our company is a third veteran, too. We actually won an award from the Department of Labor for being a veteran-owned business and meeting those criteria. And that was because we had a commitment to these individuals that worked there. And one of my favorite quotes was from a good friend of mine, and he said that, remember, at 5 o'clock every day, you don't have a business. And that's reminding yourselves that it's the employees that make up your business. And so I've had a commitment to them, and so we've been able to do stuff like we have medical, we have dental, we have 401k, we have profit sharing. You get 3% of your paycheck every year. The company gives that back in your retirement account. And we have various other benefits from cafeteria plans. And a lot of these we haven't had to do. But as if you know from your service in the military, a lot of our service in the military wasn't something we had to do. It was something we did. And we did it with honor. And we took satisfaction in the what we were able to accomplish. And we didn't have to be the person out front. And that's something that I try to make sure that I emphasize. So I gave you my...
Your business card. Oh. That's right. We talked about that. And underneath your business card is your name, but there is no title. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do not have a title on my business card because I never forget that this business is set up to provide for our community. We bring dollars back from Sacramento. We bring them back from Belle Marin. We bring them back from all the state, and we bring them back to our county, Shasta, because if you notice, most of the big contractors out on the highway and stuff are from other counties coming in. So our company is one of those companies that's bringing dollars back to the county. And so one of the things that I've made an emphasis as I wanted to protect our employees and I wanted to grow the company in a way, and so I wanted to be whatever our client needed. And so I wanted to find out what the client was, and I didn't want to give preconceived notions, so I left no title because I'm actually a licensed electrician. I'm a licensed civil engineer. I hold 4 contractors' license. I'm one of the oldest licensed stormwater designer and practitioner. My license number is 534. There's only 533 licenses before mine.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't care what people think of me. I care how well I can do my job.
Right.
And I care how well we can impact our employees, how we can impact our communities. And that's something I absolutely love about construction, is that construction is when we're done, there's a physical edifice, something physical here that we provided to our community. Our little company has worked with endangered fish. We've done a lot with Fish and Wildlife on various endangered fish, providing areas that they can provide more of them. We've also done infrastructures for water for a lot of Indian tribes to give them better water and sewer. We've done all these type of things that impact our community where we're talking about, whether it's from power. We've installed electrical charging stations, whether it's, helping the environment. We've done different projects to do that. So at the end of the day, our employees can point at something and say, yeah, we did that, and it made our community better.
And the key term is we.
Yes.
The team.
Oh, yeah. No.
And you provided water for an Indian reservation, did you not?
We have done numerous water projects for Indian reservations, and I like working with the Indian reservations. I've met some incredible people there. And it's an acknowledgement that they're our client, and we owe them something. We owe them the best job, and that's something I've appreciated, our work with those communities. But, yeah, and so this is coming back to our employees and showing them not only can they have a job, that job could mean something, they can be valued, they can achieve stuff, because we have several that are on apprenticeship programs that are going to be journeymen, whether it's electrician or laborer. And this is growing their skill bases. I've always been dedicated to keeping employees through providing the best opportunities, growth, and future. Never for if so, not trying to do something negative. And so we've kept our employees that way, and it's something I'm proud of.
Well, Les, as we move forward to the program, I just want to say thank you for being here. I didn't get a chance, but thank you for your service to our nation. And once again, thank you for coming back for the service to our community. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the job opportunities and things like that that you have in the community for veterans that are looking for those opportunities. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2, crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf. Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning, Les Converse with Converse Construction, former Navy veteran, and as we are talking with Army veteran also. And Les, we've talked about leadership skills and different things like that that you learned while you were in the service. And tell us a little bit more of the practical skills that you learned that you brought back and that help you in your skills as an electrician and in your business with your construction outfit.
Yes, in my particular field, it's the Navy Nuclear, and in the Army, I was a combat engineer for the National Guard, the local 132nd Engineering Battalion here in Reading, Alpha Company. Yes, I learned quite a bit. So first of all, as my primary job as a laboratory technician in the Navy was water sampling. Well, I've ended up working quite a bit with water treatment plants, whether it's drinking water, wastewater, UV, and having an understanding of all the terminology and what are we sampling in the waters to allow for our equipment to operate provide the quality of drinking water or the discharges to our environment from our wastewater treatment plants that we need. That was a huge advantage. Now, one of the biggest advantages I received in my military training is I was also a nuclear machinist mate, so I did a lot with pumping systems and testing. And that's something that is I've used all quite a bit. In fact, my knowledge of pumping systems and water systems has allowed me to design, even in our community, several sewage lift stations. And when I do take a project that has wastewater or drinking water, I'll do an engineering review, make sure these pumps are correct. And I learned so much. In fact, I often tell people I learned more practical that I use on a day-to-day basis from the military than I ever did from UC Berkeley. I get paid because I got that UC Berkeley diploma on the wall. So I let the military know, hey, we got to take a next step. You want to get that diploma or something on the wall, but I can tell you in a personal one, as a combat engineer, I ran a bulldozer. I ran some heavy equipment, did explosives. In fact, when I got finished with the military, I had quite the resume. I had worked with radiation, chemistry, explosive, and combat. You know,
That's well-rounded.
Nice, well-rounded. It's what you bring up at any time you're having a little tea party.
There you go.
But yes, I found the testing and all that stuff. And the thing was great is in the military we had such precision documentation that I write a lot of final acceptance testing plans. I write all sorts of these plans, which has saved our company significant amount of money, and it has allowed us to pursue different projects that we wouldn't otherwise been able to pursue. So the training I got was very practical, and that's on top of all the various ones. Because, like you said, learning commitment to those below you, learning what is a leader and how a leader is supposed to act, how is a leader supposed to occur, be. Said, and those are tools that they come out. So I would be very, I've had a couple of veterans come up to me and go, I packed a rifle. What am I supposed to do with that? And I go, you aren't looking at it right.
Right.
If you look at it the right way, you don't know how much you've learned. And we're in a society where we don't ask a lot of from a lot of kids. And even in the sports programs, they're so structured that we aren't asking for that creativity. We aren't asking for the fact that you can go and do something. You look at what we've done with 19-year-old and 20-year-old boys. I mean, that aircraft.
Young men.
Oh, young men. Well, I'm sorry, I'm approaching 50s. They're now almost children.
They're young men.
Yeah, they were young men, then they went to boys, now almost children. It's amazing that happens as you get older.
We're still kids to some.
The number is reducing.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I also like to tell them that there has been a lot you've learned. Now, I'll tell you that the Navy and the Air Force, if you are looking for a future, they hold a lot of programs where you learn a lot.
Inside and outside.
Because I was an electrician mate, but in the nuclear program, they cross-reference you on everything. They wanted a well-developed sailor. And so I did learn a lot of electrical, and I learned a lot about diagrams and stuff like that. And I later self-taught myself, and I got my journeyman electrician license. I'm a licensed journeyman electrician. And I was able to use a lot of training I had in the military that wasn't related to give myself a skill that was very valuable.
Now, you said you're looking for an electrician with your business as you're speaking right now.
Yes. If you're an electrician and you're looking for a good work environment where you'll be valued and you'll be able to bring back to the community and have something just more. If anyone describes what I want from my employees and from me, is something more.
It's not just a job. It's a part of the service to the community and the service to the company that you're working for.
Yeah, because it's a perspective. When you realize that you're doing something valuable, you realize that you are valuable, you realize that you're part of a team, so that means you don't always have to succeed. You're allowed to fail. When you have that scenario, then you have ability to love what you do. And I think there's been an overemphasis on people, find what you love, and that's what you need. No. I would say, find a good job and learn how to love it. And because if you do that, you have all sorts of opportunities.
Best of both opportunities.
Yeah. Because when you're 19, you maybe love music and girls or something like that. What are you going to really find? Whereas if you're looking for the opportunity and realizing I'm going to learn how I can love it, and that's one of the things that I've, as a boss and as an employer, I've tried to give the environment that the individuals could learn to love it and see the bigger picture. Because it is great when you turn on a water tap.
And that doesn't just benefit them. That benefits you and your organization also. I mean, that part of that team effort and total goal orientation.
Yes. Yeah. No. We've been very successful last few years, and I feel blessed. I mean, if I could sum up my life, I would say one word sums up my life, and that's thankful. And I always try to realize that I want everything to fall that way. And so I'm thankful for our employees. I'm thankful for the ability to come on and talk with you. I learned about your museum, and it's something that I have a heart for because we are a legacy. And if we don't know what legacy we came from, it's hard to reach our fulfillment. And so having some of these museums and having this history that we're able to come in touch with and look at makes us better individuals. It fulfills us, and it also tells us not only our legacies can have some warts in it, and they can have some awful beauty in it. And if we can learn from other people, we will be a better person.
And I think that's part of the issue that we're having right now with our country and the younger generation that we have that's coming up right now, is that the legacy, the good and the bad part of the legacy, because there's always a counterpart, has not been taught in perspective. It's either one or the other, but it's never together so that it's a balance. Our nation is a balance of ideas and things like that. It's far left, far right, whatever else. But it comes back to allowing people, the younger generation, to know at least what their legacy is, because right now they're floundering. That's why they're destroying everything, because they have no idea. Nobody ever taught them what their actual legacy really was. And so instead of building on that legacy and making where we live a better place, where our nation is a better place, it's that's lost to this generation, I believe, that we have right now. And I think that when you're in the military, you are given a legacy of the Navy or the Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, or the Army, because you follow the traditions of that service, and then you follow the leadership and the skills and the training that go along with that.
Yes, I believe that quite a bit. And I look at the legacies that we have, and I realize that one of the best ways to overcome that is to either be a mentor or find a mentor. Find somebody that's successful in that, or if you're successful in something, find somebody else to bring it along.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest has been Les Converse, United States Navy veteran. Les, once again, thank you for what you do in our community with your business. Thank you for serving our nation. And, we will do our best as we continue to move forward to mentor everybody that we can in our community so that we have a better community for us to be able to live in.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you next time.
Barely had time to bury all day. When the Yankees charged in the color...
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.